Hello, this is Diana Olenik, the host of the Alchemia Success Show. And today we are with Nicole Smith. She is a branding expert and she is known as the Why Finder. She is here today to explain you many of her strategies, her journey, her amazing journey. How did she get into all of this and all the insights and the best tips that she can give for you looking to get help in the branding field. So thank you very much, Nicole, for being here today with us. And please let us know, how did you get started in this amazing journey?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Oh, wow. Getting started in the journey is always one of my favorite questions because I started my journey as an entrepreneur when I was about 14. But really got serious when I was about 21 and I dropped out of college to start my first business. And one of the stories I tell quite often is that my very first experience with starting a business, I got a business partner and she seemed like the perfect business partner because she was a bookkeeper and I was a young, dumb college student with absolutely no business experience. And I pinned all my hopes on her that if I had this great, smart business partner, nothing could go wrong. So you can see how that maybe wasn't the wisest decision. But actually, what ended up happening is we started a photo studio and a retail store. And we partnered with a brand who was going to supply product for that retail store. Mm-hmm. And when we were supposed to be opening, we were instead filing paperwork on a lawsuit because I had signed my name on the line for like half of $50,000 worth of debt. And the company we paid never delivered product. Mm. So instead of opening and popping champagne, we were starting to file a lawsuit, which actually went on for almost 5 years. And every penny I made went to pay the rent and legal fees.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was something. And, you know, I'll never forget the moment when we were going through this crazy legal battle. And it felt so much pressure, right? Because starting a business is hard enough. And then having, this go on, it was wild. And I was young and inexperienced and was just sort of naive about the whole thing. And I remember making a decision that I could either never trust anyone ever again, which, you know, going through any legal battle kind of makes you feel that way. Or I could choose to continue on being sort of optimistic and looking for opportunity and, you know, trusting other people. And I became really determined that that experience wasn't going to ruin my life or my journey as an entrepreneur. And as it turned out, it didn't. I was able to turn that business around. We won that lawsuit. In the end, the people we sued filed bankruptcy, so we didn't actually get paid. So wow. It was only a few years ago now, I'd say like over 5 years ago now, but that I paid off that original debt. And, but I was able to turn that business around and I actually ended up finding business partners, to start another business, which was a lifestyle brand, a t-shirt apparel company. So I was running two businesses at the same time. And I think it would have been really easy to just kind of give up and, you know, let go of these entrepreneurial dreams I had, but I was really determined not to let that first terrible experience define my life.
Wow, that sounds amazing because usually, you know, many of the stories start kind of good. but this is, I actually love it. I actually love it because we always think that if the start is wrong, then it's not going to work. Like, it's not going to work forever. And we are not made for that. But that phrase of we are not made for us is a made phrase that we, you know, we just created ourselves. It's not that is going to determine the reality. So it's amazing. I love this type of stories because it shows how, no, we cannot give up just with this, with the first difficulty, with the first big challenge, because the challenge that you went through was actually a big challenge. So
absolutely. And, you know, we're faced with them at different levels in our business. I went on to have a really great career and build multiple six and seven figure businesses. And, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that I'm a niche branding expert. And what that means is I'm really good at helping develop niche brands, which means very, very specific brands that are very well suited to a particular person's skills or experience or worldview. And for me, that my niche was in the pet industry. So I, those first two businesses that I started were for dog lovers, and I was a pet photographer, and I did graphic design for pet brands, and built our t-shirt company is called Dog is Good, and it's for people who love dogs. And so I had the privilege of starting off in a very tight niche during a time where that niche was growing tremendously, mm-hmm. which was really helpful for me. Yeah. But also it helped me really understand the importance and the value of getting yourself into a niche like that and getting very, very specific about what you do and who you do it for. And that was kind of the first half of my story. But the second half of my story came when I sort of left a bit of that behind and I followed love to London, where I live now, mm-hmm. and had to get a visa. And, you know, I mentioned I had dropped out of college to start that first business. So I really wanted to get a degree. And so when I moved to the UK, I was able to test into a master's program. And I did a master's in marketing here in London. And what came after that was, you know, I thought, well, I never really got to have that business that I really wanted when I first started, that retail store and that photo studio together. That dream was smashed by the lawsuit.
Yeah.
So when I got out of school, I created this like high-end pet boutique just a couple minutes from where I live in Southwest London. And I thought I finally was living the dream. I had this great master's degree. I was able to build this beautiful space that sold a lot of brands that I had helped build and have my photo studio for private and commercial work. It was great. And I realized really quickly that it was not what I wanted.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. What made you come to that conclusion?
I hated the job. I loved the space. I loved the name. I loved the brand. I loved building it. But the reality of being in a retail store, a small retail store, every day, the same hours every day in the same place, I hated it. I felt so trapped. I felt like it was
like a job. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I created a job for myself. Yes, I didn't like managing. Totally, exactly. I didn't like managing inventory. I didn't like cleaning. I didn't like having employees, like all this stuff I hadn't thought about, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember the sort of guilt and shame of being like, I'm supposed to be some sort of expert. Like, how did I get this so wrong? And I think it's a trap that so many entrepreneurs fall into, where we have a great idea. We have a big dream. We want to have that beautiful space, or we have, you know, the great name for a business. And we just never stop to ask ourselves, how do I want to spend my time? Yes. Which was the big question that I was missing. I had the great idea and I pushed to make it happen. And then I didn't realize that bringing that thing to life meant I was going to be spending my time in ways that were not fulfilling. So I think that is one of the most important questions we can ask when we have a great idea or a great product or, you know, something burning inside of us that we feel like we need to bring to life is, How do I want to spend my time? And is this idea going to bring me more of that or less?
Yeah, for sure. Which also, that is, that's why what makes you the expert in finding your why, right?
Absolutely. When I realized I had spent all this time and money building the absolutely wrong business, mm-hmm. I had to figure out how that happened. and what I should be doing with myself. Yeah. And that is where a lot of the exercises that I do and teach now for why finding, and also where I realized that everything I had done was because of these skills I have to kind of see people as a photographer, as a graphic designer, as a coach, as a consultant. I had developed these incredible skills to basically be able to hear people say something and be able to kind of read between the lines to bring something to life that was what they were thinking and feeling but couldn't quite verbalize. And as a why finder, that's really important because you're helping to see someone, to be a mirror for them and their dreams and their skills and resources and all the things that they can and want to be, and being able to communicate that back to them in a way that they can't see it themselves.
Yeah, that's like amazing that you found that actual expertise from your own experience, and in terms of advising, you know exactly how the journey of somebody else could go in that regard, because you have already experienced kind of like the pain of making the wrong decision rather than being making that initial assessment and figuring out exactly the why and the mission and what is going to move the person to create everything related with their own business. So it's beautiful that you advise from that point of view of your own experience. And in terms of your film, your own branding expertise, how do you actually help people to get that why people come to you, and how is that process? I guess you have specific course or coaching that you use to help them in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do one-on-one consulting, which is the most sort of intense version, where we do a half day or a 2 day sort of VIP, and I help people go through some of my signature exercises, and we help create, not just find the why, which is really important, but be able to communicate that why. So it's finding language and then refining that language so we can give it a name, so we know what to call it and how to describe it, which is really, really important when you're an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
But I also have a DIY version, I call it, DIY why finding course called Find Your Magic, where people can start on that journey on their own. And then when they're ready, if they want to, we can do the work together. Or, you know, I've got lots of people who continue on that journey on their own and just try and get little bits of feedback here and there as they continue to refine what they find. But I think, you know, there's also, you know, a ton of ways that people can just dip their toe in and see if this work is interesting to them. We have, you know, a free Facebook group and an Instagram and stuff I can tell you about later. But
yeah,
I think the most important starting point is really asking that question, how do I want to spend my time? And then what why finding is all about really is just starting to take inventory of your unique skills and resources and world experience that you can leverage to do something, say something, be something amazing. And I am a huge, huge advocate of the fact that we all have incredible magic inside of us. I call it the enchanted rebel. I feel like we all have this little enchanted rebel inside of us who is desperate for freedom and fulfillment, and who knows that we are awesome and wants to shout about it to the world. But we all have varying levels of sort of cover up for that rebel. We have varying levels of layers of silence and repression for keeping that voice quiet, because that rebel is very scary. As depending on the culture and the family that we come from, being able to sort of throw caution to the wind and say, I'm going into business for myself, or I'm going to be an influencer online, or, you know, whatever it is that feels the most scary, is just so terrifying that a lot of people never, ever can even consider it. And that makes me deeply sad.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's awesome. And I don't want to miss this question before I forget. I wanted to ask you, how was this transition from your retail store to actually creating this new, offering of all of these strategies that you have, that you know, because you're an expert in this field. But how was this transition, and how did you actually start getting those clients? So the reason why I ask this question is because so many people get stuck in this point, you know, in how to get those first clients. And you had to do that transition from kind of like a brick and mortar, you know, type of model. And then how did you get your clients with your new offering?
Oh, that's such a great question. Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing is I kind of went back to, what do I know? Where can I start? What do I have, right? So the why finding led me to understand where my expertise was. And the one thing that I couldn't ignore is that I was an expert in the pet industry. So I knew how to build pet brands and pet businesses. I was a pet photographer, and that's a very specific job. So I knew how to do that really well. So I just sort of went back to old contacts that I have, that I had, who I hadn't spoke to or talked to in years and years and years. And I started doing research calls, which I think is a really great strategy, where I would say, hey, I'd love to interview you for like half an hour, find out what, you know, your biggest challenges are in your business right now. And, you know, if I can help, I'll be happy to help in that time. And so I booked about 20 of those calls. And at the end of the call, I would say, great, this is, you know, I would try and offer some help when they told me what their issues, their biggest issues were, bit of consulting. And at the end, I would say, this is so great. You know, I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you very much. I'm building a course that is going to address these with a bit of one-on-one time included. Would that be something you'd want to hear about when it goes live? And every single person I interviewed said yes. And a lot of those first students, I did what I called Pet Photography Profit Bootcamp. And the first time I ran it, it was live. It was a beta. Like, I hadn't written any of it in advance. I sold it to those people who had said they want to hear about it. And I just basically solved the problems that were most popular in that course. And I had said, like, to myself, if this works, I'll do it again and I'll do it properly. Yeah. And it did. And that was what started everything.
That is amazing. I love to hear, you know, this type of solutions that everyone makes for their own, you know, businesses, and to hear how they started. Because as you mentioned, this comes from that magic insight that you say that everybody has. So the solutions can be always presented if we are open enough to listen to what could be the resources. So for you, it was starting to make those phone calls, which is an awesome strategy. So I love that you were able to, you know, share that insight of how is that you managed to have your own clients, your first clients in that, during that transition, and to, you know, get ahead of your own game in your own business. That's awesome. So I've heard already a couple of the challenges and, you know, how you manage those difficulties. What does it mean at this point? I can see, like, you're an artist, you're an author even, right? Which I'm gonna ask you soon. But at this point, what does success mean to you? How do you, you know, envision that in your own experience, your own life, your own business? What at this point means success for you?
Such a beautiful question. Thank you. Well, through that why finding process, I really had to start to define that. I had to really understand what I wanted. And sometimes, and this is another really helpful tip, I think, it's much easier to define what you want by getting very clear on what you don't want. And I was very clear on what I didn't want because I was living it. And so I had to look at things like, I don't want inventory. I don't want to be trapped in a physical space. I don't, you know. And that led me to kind of understand what I do want. And it led me to really understand for myself, and then ultimately for sort of most humans, that for me, the definition of success is freedom and fulfillment. And inherent in that are some of the financial things, right? Because true freedom means for me that you can spend your time in any way that you like. And in order to do that, you often have to have some sort of exchange of time for money. And as little time as possible for as much money as possible is sort of the easiest lever to get the most amount of freedom. But really, it's about you know, what your definition of freedom looks like. It's about how you spend your time. It's about who you spend your time with. It's about how you are making a difference in the world, your purpose, and how, you know, what is your legacy? How do you want to make the world better? Because what is true is that once you get to the point where you've ticked a lot of the financial boxes, which is what most entrepreneurs are stressed about at the beginning, right? How do I get more clients? How do I make enough money? That's like, yes. That's what we worry about, because that's what a business needs. A business only exists to create revenue. Yeah. But in my opinion, a brand is the combination of that, the needs of the business, which is to create money, and the needs of the human, which is to care, to serve, to build relationships, to have fun, to do something beautiful. And that's why I'm so passionate about building brands instead of just businesses, is that it brings in so much more of our humanity. And when you are someone who is in pursuit of not just revenue, but freedom and fulfillment, you are so much more likely to get there by building a brand instead of just a business, where you can bring in things like purpose and, you know, really taking care of your customers and building relationships instead of not. And so for me, success is 100% tied to this idea of freedom and fulfillment. And for me in my life, that looks like, you know, working 4 days a week and, you know, somewhere between 4 and 5 hours a day, spending time with my family and being able to work from anywhere. So my husband and I have lived in Lake Como, Italy, and Mallorca, Spain, and all over the place as we've built our businesses. And, you know, having the freedom, the financial freedom and the location independence to do that has been a huge part of my freedom and fulfillment. And now with what's going on in the world around us, which is, you know, impossible to ignore, I'm starting to recenter and refocus on my own purpose and really starting to ask myself questions about how can I be serving at a higher level? How can I be bringing this message to more people? How can I kind of set aside my own bubble for a while and actually try and, you know, expand my definition of freedom and fulfillment to include more justice and more freedom for more people, which I'm really passionate about. So I think our definitions change, you know, once we start to meet our own needs, we're able to kind of look further and further outside of ourselves. Yeah. But yeah, for me, it's freedom and fulfillment all day long.
And that's amazing how, okay, first of all, you are also an author, right?
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, so it's funny, I mentioned that, you know, my niche is in the pet space.
Yeah.
And so my first book was a book called Puppyhood, which is a very adorable photograph, like coffee table book of 6-week-old puppies. So not exactly a lot of writing in that book, but it's beautiful. It's sweet. My next book is called The $1 Million Dog Brand. Mm-hmm. And that is a book that I wrote after doing my dissertation in my master's degree, where I interviewed like 20 of some of the top pet brands in the world and started to sort of ascertain what made them successful and kind of pick apart what was sort of the defining factors of how they were able to not just build a business, but a sustainable, profitable brand. And that also fueled a lot of what I know to be true about branding and how it works in a really practical way, as opposed to just the sort of my own lived experience and the entrepreneurs that I've worked with and the theory from my master's degree. I'm working on another book now called Niche Brand, which is all about, it's a very similar sort of concept, but it's kind of extrapolating what, you know, works in one industry and explaining how to do that, whatever your niche is. Really.
That sounds very exciting. The first book is like about your creative side, right? Because you're a photographer also.
Yeah.
So I imagine seeing the book, I love you know, pets. I have 2 dogs. I can see how beautiful that must be. And the second one was more driven for, you know, like branding, right? To find exactly, you know, this the success, extracting the success and explaining that. The third one, we all are going to be waiting for that book. Let us know when that's going to be issued. I guess in your website, you're going to publish that, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to read that book. Yes, it's very exciting. The topic of branding is a topic that you can read a lot, but it's a topic that at the end of the day, it seems like a mysterious topic that you can read, but still you don't get it.
Yeah.
So in my own understanding, I guess it will be very linked to your why, right? How do you create it? Because branding is not just the graphic elements, right? Branding has something else. It's something deeper than that. What do you think that makes a solid, very solid branding for someone who is starting out? What is what they need to understand, or what is the first step, or what is, you know, that solid foundation so they can start working from that foundation towards a good branding?
Another very important question. So, as you say, it's kind of a mysterious topic where everybody has an opinion, and there's a lot of textbook definitions that aren't very helpful about how a brand is a promise you make to your clients and what does that even mean, right?
So, it's like a puzzle.
I think for me, I try and make things really simple. Mm-hmm. And for me, the best way I can define a brand is sort of what I alluded to earlier, that for me, a brand is human plus business equals brand. Basically, it is a business, and it also is your humanity. And it's the two things combined that create a brand. And what's important about that is that both sides need to be addressed. Both the business, like building a brand is not an excuse to not focus on revenue and conversions and sales funnels and all those things you need to be successful.
Yeah.
But it also means not focusing on just those things. Mm-hmm. And for most entrepreneurs I know, building a business isn't enough because we care too much. We want to do good. We want to make beautiful things. We want to be a part of communities. And, you know, the pure definition of a business doesn't allow for that. So for me, how to actually achieve that breaks down to two pieces. One you mentioned is really connected to our why. At least I believe it is, especially when working with entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. When you're working with a corporate entity, it's a little bit different because it's not as soul driven, right? But for me, the first piece is brand purpose, having a very clear purpose. And when I do why finding work with people, it isn't necessarily about their business, it's about them. But if you're building any kind of business or brand that correlates with what you care about, then it's obviously an opportunity once you're clear on your why to either pivot your business to match that, or start a new business, or just change some of the language you're using in your business to make sure that it is very, very clear to everybody who comes into contact with you why you do what you do. Okay. And there's that very, very famous TED talk from Simon Sinek about people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And that is the human connection that we're talking about. People want to invest in people. We are passionate about supporting each other. We invest in, you know, our stories and our feelings. And that is a huge part of why this brand purpose leads to a more successful business. Mm-hmm. But the other side of it is that being a marketing expert, I can tell you when I go into a classroom or I go to speak somewhere and I ask how many people in the audience hate marketing, it's usually the majority that raises their hand.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody hates marketing. But what's great about building a brand is when you're selling something that is completely aligned with what you care about, marketing just happens. It's not something that is so painful and difficult and arduous. All you're doing is starting conversations about things that you care about and creating action. That's all marketing is. It's starting conversations and getting conversions, getting people to like, click, buy. And for me, I believe that starts from the place of starting conversations, which has nothing to do with selling. It has everything to do with just showing up and serving and helping and laughing and making beautiful things. And when you are focused on building a brand and you're doing that from a place of brand purpose, meaning you have something bigger than what you sell or who you are to talk about, you know, the reason that you exist in the world, the way you're making the world better, that's what people are buying. Mm-hmm. And you can sell whatever you want. It allows you to really shift and change over time if you want to add or subtract products or services, because that's not why people are following you. They're following you because they have a shared belief in how the world works and how they want the world to be. And that is one thing that most businesses miss out on. They don't take the time to understand that, to define it, and they definitely don't communicate it enough to the people that they're serving. Most of us have a purpose, but we don't talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And definitely that's why it's mandatory to get an expert like you, because the way to do it is where it becomes tricky, you know? Mm-hmm. Experts like you know exactly how to do this, how to bring that voice outside, how to express that brand, all they are, all they have to give, all the purpose. We usually know that that's what we have to do, but we don't know exactly how. And it's in the so way hard. That works for us. Yeah, because there are so many resources out there online. You can get very overwhelmed. That's why I love the show, this podcast, because by bringing experts, we kind of bring things more to a more specific or more real scenario. We have so much outside, but we get super confused in what is a... Like a blogger can write about anything, basically.
Yeah.
But the expert is the expert. And that's why I love these opportunities to show people exactly how they kind of have done things. And it helps to assess a little bit in what direction people is going. The next step is actually get your expertise, your support, and your help. In terms of branding, we assume, let's say, many businesses right now are shifting from a brick and mortar business to a whole online structure, right? So for these businesses, and usually traditionally, many people, and still, of course, not everybody's an expert in branding. But in that sense, branding is a topic that for some means graphics, means something beautiful outside there. For some people, that's what it means. So have you had cases where the story is there and it's beautiful and the person have delivered properly the story and the purpose and the graphics are not that well and still the business is successful? Do you think that these two have the same level of importance, or how is your opinion there? It's like those graphics have to be very well balanced, or in your experience, the businesses that you've seen, is there a possibility where they have nailed down the voice and the why, and not necessarily the graphics are that important? How do you see that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the first bit I mentioned is brand purpose. Right? That's what we've already talked about. The second piece of what I think makes up a brand is what I call brand cool, which is everything that you're talking about. And that comes down basically to visuals, to words, experiences, and artifacts. And we can talk about each one of those briefly. Yeah. To answer your question first, yes, I do believe that if you get the language right, and if you're clear on your purpose, you absolutely can be successful without having a fancy website or fancy graphics or logos or photography, but probably not if your business is relying on web traffic or people making a quick decision about you online. So if you get a lot of referrals, if you do a lot of, like discovery calls, that kind of thing. A lot of people in the service industry who go from referral to referral, the brand cool often doesn't matter because they've already decided when they've gotten on the phone with someone. However, as you discuss this, the fact that so many of us are now going from brick and mortar to online, what happens online, as we all know, is our attention span is basically nothing. It's a couple of seconds. Yeah. And what we have to do to get people to stick around to even read anything or listen to anything about our why or our purpose is to grab them instantly with the brand cool. And for me, the two most important pieces of that, and I'll tell you why in a second, are colors and photography. So I take a huge emphasis off of logo and fonts, and it matters, definitely. And the whole brand identity is important. But the most important two assets in your brand are your color palette and your photography, because those are the things that our brand registers, our brain registers the quickest. Mm-hmm. So we will get turned off or turned on or make a decision about whether or not this website or this person is for me based on those two factors. In fact, there's a great stat out there that says that 85 to 92% of our decision making as consumers is down to color.
Oh,
that's that simple.
Yes.
So when it comes to brand cool, those are the two things I care about most. And they're the two that often get most neglected by most of the entrepreneurs that I work with, because we're so focused on our logo, right? And we've been told that we need to have a great logo because it needs to be memorable and all that, which is fine. But you can get a great logo for $40 on creativemarket.com that will serve you very, very well until you have money to invest in something much fancier. But what you have to get right is your color palette and your photography, because those are the things that are going to turn people away or turn them on the quickest.
Wow, that is an awesome insight. Thank you for that. Yeah, there is a lot of, I ask these questions also from, yeah, the point of view of starting off, how it would be for someone to, you know, get to understand exactly what is the importance of this, what is the impact of being online and not having nailed down all of these elements. You could be pretty much missing opportunities by not having all of these elements in place. So that's why I emphasize in these type of questions that so people understand the importance of having these all these elements working together and mix in a way that can actually work to attract the clients that are specific for that niche that you
Absolutely. And the thing that most people don't really acknowledge is that this stuff is happening whether you're doing it on purpose or not. So just because you haven't thought about your colors or your fonts or your photography doesn't mean it's not impacting people, right? Yes. So, and I think the other thing I really want to emphasize, because I think branding in particular gets a really bad rap for having to be really expensive. Mm-hmm. And I 100% advocate working with really great, really experienced designers, photographers, copywriters, but only when you can afford to do that. And it's an enjoyable investment for you. I waited for over a decade in my career to spend in a big way. I spent probably, I think it was like $10,000 to redo my branding, what, you know, web page photography, you know, colors, that kind of thing. And that was the first time in my career that I had spent that kind of money. And it was after 15 years, you know, but you can, with $500, with $100, you can get something credible and beautiful and effective that allows you to just get started. Yeah. You know, the way I described earlier, that minimum viable product where you just start talking mm-hmm. to people and you sell something and you start learning about who you're serving. Because the reality is all that pretty stuff, all the colors and the graphics and all that stuff, we choose those for a reason. And that reason is to either attract or turn off the right and wrong people. And if we don't know who those people are, and we don't know what their thoughts and fears are, if we don't know what they want from us, then we are inevitably going to choose the wrong colors or choose the wrong images, choose the wrong words, because we don't really know how to speak to them. Yeah. And that's another piece of this niche branding, is getting more and more and more specific about who we're speaking to. And that's where you start mm-hmm. to see really sort of polarizing things, where you see brands where people, you know, swear a lot. And they've learned that that's something that their people are really comfortable with. And if you're offended by it, then you're not for them. Great.
Yes.
Or people have really extreme branding where they have, mm-hmm. You know, like really extreme colors or really extreme themes. They go like crazy with tattoo art, or they go, you know, really, really hot pink, because they've zeroed in on who their people are and what they want and what they don't want. And the, you know, the more each of us can do that, the better, but it doesn't happen fast. It's not something you can just like fast track and cheat at. It takes yes. time to get to know yourself, your products and services, and your customers. So what I advocate for people when you're just starting out, don't think you need to spend a lot of money on branding in order to have a brand, because so much of that brand is about your purpose and how you mm-hmm. communicate that purpose. And then simple things like some good photos and some great colors. And you can expand from that. So maybe in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years or whenever you're feeling more flush and you know yourself and your clients better, that's when you invest more money in better experts to get more specific with your branding, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's I'm super glad of all of these, you know, conversation and sharing all of these strategies with you and your insight. That's awesome. What is coming next for your amazing business? And what do you have there cooking in the background for your business?
Oh, thanks for asking. I've been shedding. I've been getting rid of a lot because I've been helping people grow their businesses, and I'm getting rid of all of that to really focus on the why finding and the branding. Mm-hmm. And as a graphic designer, helping people build brands, that's not work I do anymore, but it's such an important part of this conversation that we're having about talking about colors and photography and how to do that. So the next thing that I'll be bringing to life is probably a course and maybe a membership to help people build their niche brand start to finish with the language and the graphics and the colors and the photography, and helping people do that, not in a one-on-one way, but in a one-to-many way where I can try and offer something that is easy, targeted, affordable to help people through that process quickly to get, you know, either the first brand kind of out there and done and in the world, or to look at doing that brand refresh where they're taking more time to be able to really be more thoughtful and more considerate now that they know stuff about themselves and their business. So that'll either be coming in the fall or early next year. And that'll be aligned with the book, with Niche Brand. It's the Niche Brand Academy is what that's going to be.
That's awesome. And it's very awesome that you're trying to get, you know, both of them together for this big launch. I'm going to be, you know, like checking your Instagram to be ready there for your new offerings. I'm super excited for you. And I invite everybody to take a look and join your Instagram, your Facebook group, so we can really continue with the journey with you. All of this insight has been super amazing. How can people get a hold of you, Nicole?
My podcast is called the Magic Maker Podcast, and there are a lot of episodes about a lot of the things I've discussed here. So like mm-hmm. the visuals and the graphics and branding, mm-hmm. There's lots of resources, free resources there. And that's, you can just search Magic Maker on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram, or my website is all my name, which is jnicolesmith.com, or on Instagram at jnicolesmith. And Nicole has an H in it. So it's JNICHOLESMITH. And there's always good stuff going on there. And if you're on the podcast or the Instagram, you'll definitely get told about our free Facebook group, which is Magic Makers HQ, which is mm-hmm. where we have a lot of great conversations about this stuff. And we do challenges, and we have some fun resources and some great lives where we can talk about this stuff and hopefully help you get clearer on your purpose or clearer on your niche brand.
That's super awesome. It sounds super fun and exciting. So I can't wait to go and check your Facebook page. So we Facebook group. And so we can get all of this inside and continue to grow our brands. Thank you very much, Nicole. Is there anything that you wish I had asked you today?
Cool. I think one of the sentiments I really like to leave people with, because yes. it was one that took me many, many years to learn, mm-hmm. is your business is not your baby. It is an experiment. It's never going to love you back. you know, you don't exist to support it. It's the mm-hmm. other way around. It exists to support you. And mm-hmm. I think the more we can kind of hold our businesses lightly and feel free to set them down, walk away, experiment, take risks, because we're not clinging to them so tightly, that's where a lot of the magic starts to happen. And that is a lesson that is sometimes very hard to learn, but it's one of the most important things you'll be able to achieve as an entrepreneur is to treat it like an experiment. So you feel like you have choices and you have freedom, and it doesn't feel like it's sucking the life out of you.
Yes. I think that most of the times we see this business journey and I have made a mistake, so I should say, of you want to learn from others that have walked the path. And these others are already kind of like, you know, they show how their businesses are doing well, you can see it. And then you fall unconsciously in comparing yourself and feeling a certain lack of something that I have to get there. But that certain lack of something creates unconfidence, create many other things that are not helpful. And that lack, in my opinion, prevents you to enjoy the actual journey, which is the experiment, I think, that you're saying, which is like just having the fun, you know, just like having the fun in that every minute, in that every moment that you're doing your stuff, that you enjoy it without putting so much attention in the fact that it has to be this way, the goals have to be this or that. So strict, you know, we cannot control absolutely every single thing. We can do things, to enjoy the journey and have fun, as you say, also, but not putting all the attention in how we have to get this in this like this person or this influencer or this brand, because everybody is absolutely different and everybody's in a very different and unique journey. So it's very beautiful, all the insight that you've been able to share today. I am super, super grateful that you decided to join us today. And Nicole, I invite anybody, please don't miss the opportunity to join Nicole's community, because all her insight, her experience over so many years, it's something that we really need to take advantage of. And get there, get to the Facebook group, get to know Nicole better. Contact her for support and help with their businesses so you can get to finally grow that business to the level that you want. Thank you very much, Nicole.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. And see you in the next episode.